God is faithful.
Amen.
I encourage you to be.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Amy Carmichael. The battle against the evil forces that you can't see. Oh my. We're in that portion of Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the 15th verse, but I want you first to turn to Romans chapter 13 with me. Romans 13. I'd like to begin reading at verse 11 down through 14. Same topic, ultimately. And do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The armor of God, as it's laid out in Ephesians 6, is a graphic picture of who Jesus is to us and ways that he protects us. The picture of the armor, the piece at a time, the belt, the breastplate, the feet, etc. The pieces are not intended to be separated from one another, but it is given as various facets of the whole, and that is Christ to us. Christ our Lord. I can't just walk out there with a belt of truth and ignore the rest. It's senseless. It all fits together because it is Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. That is what we talked about in the last 2 weeks, that he is the truth. So now walk in truth. He is our righteousness. So now do what is right. Lay aside the things you just listed here. There's other lists we can turn to. That's unrighteous. Take on the righteous way of he who is our righteousness. Ephesians 6, verse 15. The sentence.
Thing turned up. No, not
hey. Yeah. An ear thing turned up.
Hearing is going super high pitch right now throughout the room. So I'm turning it down or better.
My hearing aid is
going off. Okay. The sentence begins at verse 14. Ephesians 6, 14, please. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One of the commentaries I like to appeal to is a fellow named Linsky. He's a Greek guy. He's a language guy, linguistic. Mr. Linsky translates this literally. He's not alone in this, but his wording was, and having shod yourselves as to the feet in readiness of the gospel of the peace. And having shod yourselves as to the feet in readiness of the gospel of the peace. It's not as smooth flowing as our translations tend to be, but sometimes an attempt to smooth it out brings misunderstanding also. I'd like to dip into this. In the general sense, this feet shod with the preparation or readiness of the gospel of the peace, general sense, it is ready, eager courage that is due to the gospel which fills us with the peace of God. The graphic picture of the armor is protection. It's about protection, keeping the child of God safe against the attacks of the enemies. The context here is about standing firm and resisting the onslaught. Standing confidently because we have peace with God through Jesus. Let's go deeper into it. As far as us taking the gospel out to people, evangelizing others so as to snatch them out of the fire and give them hope? Yes, yes, and yes, but not from this verse. Many other scriptures talk about that. Absolutely, get on it. Stay on it. As Patty admonished us just a little bit ago, you know, tell that loved one that you love them and that God loves them. But this is different. This is within the armor that is our protection. Here's how it works. This gospel of peace begins in the book of John. Please turn to John 14. John 14:27. Jesus is in discussion with his disciples just before he leaves them. They are going to be left alone in that sense, and they are not happy with this. Let's use the word terrified. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. You see, that the peace of the world always has strings attached to it somehow. We can't even agree what that peace might even look like. It was so bizarre to me, I can't get past it. Back in the 60s and early 70s, the violent protests for peace. People died. Huh. This is a different kind of peace. My peace I leave with you. It's something that guards us in our very emotions. It guards our mind. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Chapter 15 of John, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. No matter what else you believe besides Jesus, they love their own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But in all these things, they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Chapter 16, first three verses. These things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. They, that's the world outside, will make you outcast from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. 16:32-33. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. This is to the disciples directly. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. That is the peace we're addressing here. That is the peace of the gospel. The gospel and the peace. That in the midst of trauma and drama, tribulation, even being murdered, you might have peace. it's Jesus' idea. Can I move a little further? Please turn to Romans chapter 5. This brilliant mind that we know, his name is Paul, the apostle. This brilliant guy sets up as an attorney would set up his case, piece by piece by piece. That's what the book of Romans is. He is led to this place in chapter 5, the first verse. Therefore, having been justified, stop there. The word justified is a judicial term that means that God has declared that you are now righteous instead of the guilty one that has to pay the eternal penalty. You are justified. How are you justified? He's been building this. Therefore, having been justified by faith. In chapter 3, he says that we break down. We can't work our way to heaven. We cannot. By no work of the flesh will anybody ever be justified before God. It's nuts and no go. This is by faith in that finished work of Jesus on the cross. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. Lord, this is getting tough out here. This is rough ground. I know, that's why I gave you these feet, these shoes for these feet. So you can stand firm, so you can resist on rough ground. The gospel of the peace is what is guarding me, keeping me upright, keeping me moving ahead, even in the face of death. Peace with God judicially from his throne, the judge of judges, also makes feelings of peace available. So Jesus uses the words, do not be afraid, do not fear. Please turn to Luke 12 for a moment. Luke quotes some words of Jesus that the other Gospels did not. Luke 12, verse 4 and 5. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Yeah, right. What? You really mean me to say, yeah, kill me, get it over with, man. This is fun. What a day. He doesn't take us to a place of stupidity. He's wanting to get in deeper. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. That's the most they can do. And he takes it a little bit deeper. I warn you whom you should fear. Fear the one who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. That would be God himself. But now he won't because I have peace with him. Not peace of my making and not peace of this world. It is peace through the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. Truth declares something about them killing my body. What does the truth declare to us? Here's the guy coming at me, set up as my enemy, opposed to me, going to kill me because I'm a Christian. What is the truth from God's word? What's that?
He can't touch your soul.
That's all he can do is kill the body. What else?
That God's with us.
God is with us. Keep going.
He will protect us.
Keep going.
He will help us through it.
Yes, yes, yes.
He might provide what to say in that moment.
This guy can't do it without God's.
Okay.
I heard a saying called, to
to live is for God and to die is to gain.
That's not a saying. That's a scripture.
Oh.
Which is a great saying. That's out of the book of Philippians. To die is gain. Haha. Scripture. Truth declares that if this body dies, it simply ushers us into the presence of our God, of God our Savior. And this mortal will be swallowed up by life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Would you please turn to Romans 8? Remember, he's still building the case in the book of Romans. He gets to this point, because I'm justified, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. King James brings verse 4 up into verse 1, but it wasn't there originally in the manuscripts. That fourth verse tells us there's two kinds of people. There's those that are flesh ones and spirit ones. If you have Jesus in you, you are a spirit one, even if you're doing your own thing out there being goofy. You're no longer the flesh one. If you're flesh, you need to die and come to Christ. If you're in Christ, there is no condemnation toward you. None. Zero. Thank you, Lord, for that. Let's go further down to verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. Again, you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy in heaven. I'm the child, he's the dad, and he loves me, and we have that relationship. Go to verse 31 of chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Let's consider our feet are able to stand on rough terrain, uncomfortable terrain, difficult circumstances, and I can resist him who is evil. I can stand firm against him who is evil because I have the peace from the gospel. I know my standing. I know that I can be confident. And this is not the power of positive thinking. This is truth from God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what does that mean? We'll get that in a moment. Verse 31 right here. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And this is not prosperity doctrine material. That's not what this is about. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Let it be silent for just a minute, because nobody can stand up and say, I will. It's dead silent. Who can bring a charge against God's elect if there's no condemnation? If they have peace with God, there is no charge. God is the one who justifies. Hallelujah. Who is the one who condemns? Again, we have silence. Nobody standing up says, I will. It's the enemy, absolutely, that tries the condemnation. Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather was raised, who is currently at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. The Lord Jesus Christ praying for me at this moment on the rough terrain while I'm going through what I've got to go through, he is interceding for me. That's what this says. He knows me intimately. Yes, he knows when I do those stupid things. And he is praying for me. Ooh, I'm gaining some ground here. In my mind and heart, my confidence. I'm reminded who he is for me and to me. He intercedes for us. Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? He mentions a few things. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake, we are being put to death all day long. What we're talking about here isn't delivery out of death. Not delivery from persecution in tough times. It is keeping us through it. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, here's that armor. Here is the firmness that I can stand. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. It's him, not me. He's the one fighting this battle. I'm just told to stand firm and resist. For I am convinced that neither death, he starts with the worst one, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, not a place I can go, get in a rocket and take off to no man's zone out there. There is no separation. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. And I love to add a little humor here and start including things like IRS, OSHA, coronavirus. Fill out the list. There is nothing created that shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have peace with God. He has declared me righteous. Wow. I'm getting a little encouraged here. So stand firm. What have you got to fear? What have you got to come loose about? Stand firm against the enemy tactics with confidence because you belong to Jesus. Because you have peace with God, your feet are ready for rough ground, and this life has plenty of rough ground. Some of you right here, current, present in this room, have been through some horrible, horrible things. Tough stuff that you wouldn't ever wish on anybody else. Life is tough. But God is good. And God has you. John 10, you are in the grip of the Father. And then he brings the next thought in, you're in the grip of Jesus. He has you. Confidence to get up out of bed and take another day. Confidence to do what is right because it's right. Confidence that takes you back to the truth because it's a truth that's going to help you think straight and direct you in regards to the feelings. Here in Ephesians 6, there's a little paradox. I don't know if you picked it up or not. And I'm just going to mention it, not much to say about it. Peace with God, which allows us to do battle with evil forces. There's not going to be peace with that ugly enemy here. You don't want peace with him. He's going to see to it that if you belong to God, you're not going to have peace from him. But you have peace from God that carries you. Righteousness and peace, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the peace of the gospel. Those are related. Truth and the gospel, the belt of truth and this gospel. Truth and gospel are related. They're associated with each other in the scriptures to look at the fuller picture. Various facets of the same one who is Jesus Christ our Lord. We started in Romans 13. I'd like you to go back to Romans 13 one time. In that 14th verse. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we have to understand these Roman people he was writing to. They already know Jesus. They have salvation. That's clear from chapter 1 early on. They are believers in the Lord. They are saved. They have Jesus. So to put on the Lord Jesus Christ is different than get saved. They are saved. Put on the Lord Jesus. It's not a call to salvation, but an urging to walk with Jesus. An urging to apply yourself in your relationship with God. And not simply muddle along in life, doing your own thing, throwing in a little Christian religion here and there. Put on Jesus. Now, secondarily, walking that kind of a walk in the confidence that you belong to Jesus, confidence that he has given, you have earned now credentials to speak out that same gospel, to offer that to somebody else. It's not just a dead religion. It is life with the living God. No question about that. And there's plenty of scriptures that talk about us sharing our belief about Jesus with others. But here, it's protection for you because you're in a battle. Interaction, questions or comments?
Just when you were describing certain things and being in the Spirit of God, the early Christians that were in the Colosseum, that lions were sent on them, they had to have the Spirit of God because they held them through it.
Agreed.
And I did, that thought just came to me like,
wow. I agree. I am of the belief, I can't turn you to a verse in the Bible and says it here. I am of the belief that someone who is being martyred for the Lord Jesus, God's grace somehow kicks in to a grand degree and holds them through that. I cannot see any other way. There is no way humanly possible for a human being lit on fire to be singing praises and forgiving the ones that lit the fire. That. Let me get this together so I can wait. Give me a moment. Don't lie to you yet. I'm trying to get this together here. No, it's happening. And God's grace kicks in. The Spirit of God in us. Yes, I believe very much so, very strongly. It's like comes alive, giving us the ability to go on through what we need to go through, even with joy that comes out invisible. And in some cases, seeing the way they died, the one that did the killing gave their life to that same God.
A story that came out years after it happened, but the story of the five American missionaries who were martyred by the Indians that were called Alcas in those days. And later, the widow of one of those missionaries was back talking to the people who had since accepted the gospel. And they said, yes, when we killed them, there were the bright ones in the sky singing. And, you know, evidence apparently of an angelic presence that was there ushering them into the presence of the Lord.
I believe that. I have no problem believing that to be actual, factual stuff. That's our God. He's got the angels ministering to us. That's what the book of Hebrews describes. His grace is sufficient. Thank you.
It says in Corinthians, which we studied, and will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. Wow. I mean, what you preached today was, there's your strength.
He is my strength. He is my confidence.
One of the ones says, my strength is perfected in weakness. Yeah. What?
2 Corinthians 12:10, I think it is, 8 through 10. Good. Anybody else? If you belong to Jesus, this is practical. And this is life. This, he meets us where we live. Dave?
Dan, it's encouraging for us to look at the extraordinary experiences the missionaries that Bev referred to, most of us don't have that kind of experience. Can God do that? Absolutely. Has He done it? Yes. Most of the time, there is a preparation that precedes that kind of an event, or the event that allows us to demonstrate what He is doing inside of us. And I think you emphasized that in the earlier service this morning. If we don't know what the Word says, what do we have to call on? If I know and understand something about the future, something about the promise, if I've not learned to trust Him, then I can be kind of at sea and tossed about. If I know and understand what He tells us He will do, if I will believe it and act on it, when the crisis comes, then it's easier to move through that crisis to that hope that He extends to us. Hope not being wishful thinking, but a conclusion that honors Him. That in itself gives us strength to continue doing what needs to be done now during the crisis.
Thank you. I have a book at home read a long time ago called Death of a Guru. Death of a Guru, about an Indian man who came to Jesus, who was of the caste that he was next in line behind his dad to be the next guru that was worshipped. And the worship of those gurus was gruesome. It was gruesome. This individual believed that who he was a god, and they were worshiping him as a god, which meant that he stayed in a room and only stayed in that room only ever. People came and served him food, and food gets processed, defecate, and they'd clean him up. His nails grew long, his hair grew long and ugly. I mean, this was, and here's this little boy, he's next in line to be that. And of their 300 million gods, his mom told him once that if you ever have trouble, you could also call on Jesus. He was out somewhere, got in trouble, called on some gods, they didn't work. And he called out to this Jesus, and there was, the event changed. I think it had to do with the snake, and it went away. I don't remember those details. He came home and told his mom about it, and his mom became irate, because he ought to be calling on his own gods, even though she's the one that had told him. There is a case, and I believe God meets us where we have that need. He did come to know Jesus as his Lord afterward, and part of that was, he's a God that works. He's a God that's alive. He can do something. None of the rest could. Interesting testimony. I 100% agree with Dave. I have access right now to the preparation tool God has given me. I have His Spirit in me. I have His Word here. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming down the line. Will I be prepared for that? I certainly hope so. Great. What are you doing today? Your point. And I appreciate that. But that God also meets us that don't know Him at that need of the moment. He is fully, fully able to do. He's a great and wonderful and loving God. Amen.
That undergirding that, regardless of what knowledge I may possess and what I say I embrace, there is that heart that is already given to Him.
Yes.
Without having all of the information, that I might like to have, or that after years I would possess. So it can be the very newborn believer who can withstand so much based on God's grace and what he has already accepted and he's turned his life over to. In the meantime, those of us who lived a little bit longer, we are bounced around and not always pleasant. And we begin to learn, what is it that I truly do believe? And we have crises that come into our lives. They can be personal, one-to-one with another person. It can be the kind of crisis that we have in our country right now. What Sibi is going through in India with a government that wants to wipe out those who truly believe in Jesus. I doubt that he planned for that. But here's a man who's given himself to God as number one priority. And he's willing to face into that crisis. And as we sit back and watch, we're cheering, trying to give encouragement, and eventually, hopefully, we will see the end of his story. And I expect it to be triumphant.
Amen. Good. So okay, go ahead.
That phrase, put on, I'm glad that you went over that a little bit more on the end, because it's always kind of been a trip up for me, those words. And the NIV says, clothe yourself with. And, you know, practically, I mean, I've been, you know, thinking and meditating on this for over a year, this particular thing. And practically, you know, it's a daily thing. I agree with what Dave said. It's, you know, when you look at the missionaries and all of these things, and it's really great. But what does that mean for me today to put on, to clothe myself? And, you know, we talk about having a relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And so all I can come up with is, will I, as Dave said, you know, am I in the Word? Am I? Is it coming in me freshly? Or is it, I'm just relying on the teaching here at church? You know, but the thing about it is if I am having this relationship with Jesus, he's there to tell me what to do and how to fight this thing that is so hard in life. I mean, it's life. It's very difficult, and there's so many situations, and I do want to do what is right. I do want to have the peace. And it is the gospel. It really is. And, you know, will I ask him? Will I put him on? Will I allow him to be in my life on a practical level?
And will I allow that peace that I have with God to give me that sense of peace to keep me through this, whatever this might be? Let's go ahead, Agatha. Okay.
Sherry Lou, this is partly in response to what you were saying. Our language has a lot of connotation to it. Go to a dictionary, you will not find those words. They're not defined. But because of the common use of them, the context in which they're used, we know what, or at least we think we know what is meant by put on. We don't literally put on Jesus like I put on a shirt this morning. We don't do that. So what is it saying? There's something about being so absorbed that at least today, when you see me, you identify this with me, and vice versa. And it's that identification that is at the heart of what it means to put on Jesus.
Nice. Thank you. Nice. Thank you.